Good evening and welcome to Chronicles. Good evening and welcome to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fuchina Carcanal, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. It's funny because I was running late today because I was trying to do my devotion with my son before I got on the show. So I apologize for that, but I am so grateful to be here. I'm so excited. I was a little nervous, but we're going to go into prayer. You know, I don't start my show without doing prayer first. So let's go right into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. You are worthy to be praised, and we give you the highest praise of hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to see another Mother's Day in 2020. Coronavirus don't stop our praise. Coronavirus will stop our prayers, our devotion to you, Lord. And Lord, as we come, I come in here tonight, Lord, I ask that you decrease me. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in and fill me tonight, Lord, as I touch this subject. I thank you for all the people that is designed to hear and to listen. I thank you for who you've been, who you are, and who you're about to be in all of our lives right now, Lord. I thank you for all those mothers who are here and listening, and thank you for those out there. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for my grandmother. I just thank you for all the mother figures that you have blessed me with in my life. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray, Lord. Amen. I remember growing up, there's this song by Naughty by Nature, and the song was, you down with OBP, and the response was, and you know me. And I was, as a kid, you know, it was a nice beat. And at that time, at one time, I remember saying that, yeah, I was down with it. And if you didn't know, if you don't know what OPP is, it means other people's property. And as you get older, as I get older in my age, because I'm almost 50 now, I just noticed that so many things have changed in my life, especially my walk with God and how he has come, how things have come back full circle, and how he has brought certain situations, certain things in my life to make me reflect upon some of the things I've done in my yesteryears, as he brought Chronicles of a Fonda Woman to the forefront for me. You know, I will always tell you that my chronicles always begin with me. It's usually something that I have gone through or have, you know of someone who's gone through. But the show is always designed to minister, and it's always designed to be a help to someone who may need. I always, you know, felt like we didn't have a voice, you know, coming from the molestation background. You know, we never had that voice, and this has always been my platform, so we can have that voice to voice our opinion. And Chronicles, it is about real talk, real people, real subjects, and real life. And this subject that we're going to talk about is definitely real. I'm going to keep it honest, and that's what really what this is about. It's definitely no judgment on anyone. Definitely no judgment on us, and I tell people, especially my girls that I mentor, you know, Miss Tina wasn't always like this. And when they tell me, well, Miss Tina, I can't see you. You don't look like that. I said, that's the beauty of God's grace. So as I go into, before I go into our subject tonight, I just want to say, you know, thank you again for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I want to thank you, especially my email followers, those who are sending me emails. It's so encouraging, and I just really appreciate your support in every way, not just emails, also Twitter, and just out in the street, believe it or not. I thank you for all of my followers in United Kingdom. I thank you for Guyana. I thank you for Haiti. I thank you for the Philippines. I thank you for Barbados and Nigeria, Africa. I'm so humbled about this experience of, you know, coming out and just doing and sharing. It's about, you know, bringing together people, like-minded people, trying to move forward and trying to be positive, and that's really what this is all about. those who are interested in tuning in, if you know someone who would be blessed by this tonight, please, I encourage you to send them out or have them tune in. They can log in by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. If you want a shorter link in that, you can actually go to the Facebook page of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, and you can actually click on the link. It'll take bring you straight to the show, and all you have to do is listen into it. Those of you who don't have much internet or just want to listen, you can always call in to area code 914-338-1552. I do have opportunities for people to come on and speak, and I definitely encourage it when I definitely open the lines up. I am going to ask that your comments are minimum, and we also keep that keep the respect, especially of the platform that we're talking about tonight, that we're sensitive to other people. If you are interested in chiming in, please just text me at 678-887-9441. Once again, you can text me at 678-887-9441. And if you just want to say something, you share, just say, just share. You can text me at 678-887-9441 and just say, just share. And you're more than welcome to do so. And just text what it is that you would like to share, and we'll go from there. So I'm going to do a better job on making sure I'm looking into my phone to find out who is actually chiming in and who's not chiming in. I will do much, much, much better. I promise. Okay. So as we go into now, if something happens, if I have technical difficulties, I promise you, if the show disconnects at any reason for any just know that I will be logging back in. For some reason, this some box is showing up. But just know I'll call back in. So sometimes as people, we're always looking for a place where we can feel loved or feel wanted or needed or accepted. Or feel supported in some kind of reason. And some of the ways or the means that we go to get there may lead us into an unexpected drama, sometimes trauma or regret. And I'm referring to situation of OPP, other people's property. It could be someone who's in a relationship with someone else, someone who's married to someone else, and unattainable people. For women, unattainable men, and for men, unattainable women. Regardless of what that reason is, you know, there's so many reasons why people do it. But let's deal with that. Let's just put a pin in that for a second as to why people feel that need, that longing for love, that longing for, well, I actually answered my question, but that wanting to be accepted, that, you know, that wanting to be wanted or feeling needed. And it's because of the lack of love in some form or fashion. But what exactly is love? You know, love can be defined in two different ways. It could be an action word, showing the meaning, you showing the love, and then a noun. You know, you say you love me, but your actions don't show that you love me. You know, love of thyself. And I'm sitting here because I'm trying to think of, I saw something that someone once said, to love oneself, one has to know oneself. Oh, I can't remember how it went, but it was so profound to me and just spoke volumes. Once you learn yourself, learn what it is about yourself, you'll learn to, well, excuse me, once you love yourself, you'll learn, you know, you'll learn more on how to know yourself and how to move forward and trusting yourself and knowing how to treat yourself, knowing what's accepted and what's not acceptable. But the Bible talks about love, but in Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, where it talks about love and what love is and what love is not. And it starts there, I would say. It will start there. Knowing, let me put a pause right there. I think the best way for me to approach this is to tell you my story. Everyone knows, if you don't, that I'm a survivor of childhood molestation. As a result of being violated, I grew up with a lot of insecurities because on top of that, I had to deal with a lot of rejection, whether it was from other people that included family, friends, and whomever, those who I thought was close. I dealt with a lot of rejection. So I really, my sense of love was a little warped because it was a family member that molested me. And I didn't really understand the dynamics of what really love was. I had a situation where I felt betrayed because when you're younger and you grow up in the era that I grew up, you are pretty much seen as a child and not heard. And when the opportunity, or I thought the opportunity would have came, they gave me the guts to say, hey, this person is doing something they had no business to do it to me. I, in turn, the violator made it seem as if I was wrong for what I did, and to a degree I was, but it was an opportunity to open up why you did what you did. And that didn't happen. In fact, I got punished immediately without question. And it just put me in a state where I was like, I have no one I can really turn to. Now, I'm not putting down anyone. People do the best that they can, anything they do. So let me make sure I'm clear on that. We're clear on that. But it put me in this, I didn't feel I had any sense of security. I didn't have anyone that I could really talk to. I didn't know what love really was because I just didn't have a real definition of it or understood what a definition of it because I always felt like I was never protected. Growing up and coming out of high school, you know, I had the opportunity to finally share with someone. I finally trusted someone enough to actually share that I was violated at a young age for so many years. And that was like an elephant off my chest. Well, that was just a burden that was lifted off my chest. And at the same time, I lived in a very strict environment where I couldn't go anywhere. I really couldn't do much, if anything. And then I was thrown out into the world to defend myself, defenseless. And it led to me becoming, and that's just, I'm just going to be straight, promiscuous, and also not understanding about what life was like, you know, growing up as a teenager, a not experience of the world, not being told what certain experience was or what I should expect or having some of those real talks I probably should have had. Once again, I don't blame anyone. It's just people do the best that they can. That's just the bottom line. But I lacked that. So I pretty much was out like a little, I was like a little easy prey for men. I was just naive. And as a result, I was, I'll just put it loosely, I was just out there. And I wasn't sure of myself. I didn't know who I was or what I was, and I was looking for validation from men. I didn't believe I was pretty. I just didn't. I didn't have confidence in myself. I looked for other people to guide and direct me because that's all I knew. People didn't explain. I wasn't explained, you know, certain things. It was just the way it is. So going in there into the world unequipped, it just left me defenseless. I got to a point where I became so promiscuous I have made a name for myself, not realizing what I was doing. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't feel like I was doing anything wrong. I was just surviving the best way I knew how, until I got to a point where I was like, in my life, where I was like, it has to be something better, but I just don't know what that better is, because I still didn't believe in myself. And because at the same time, you know, I always dealt with females who were either jealous of me or didn't like me for whatever reason. And sometimes it would be because another guy liked me, and I, half the time, I didn't know who the guy was. But anyway, so I had to deal with a lot of that. I had to deal with people tearing down my character just because of who I was or what I looked like. Long story short, I got married, and I got married. I was in a not in a physical abusive marriage, but it was emotionally, mental, and verbally abusive marriage. And no, I'm not throwing shade on him, because, you know, we're good. We're past that. But at that time, you know, when you have two broken people getting together, it's just a recipe for disaster. I got to a point where I got to the lowest point in my life. I allowed someone to bring me to the lowest point in my life where I believed that I wasn't worth anything. I believed that no one would want me. I believed that I just had to deal or settle for whatever I had. And that followed me a long time. And when I got a divorce, that took a toll on me, a very, very emotional and toll where I almost wanted to take my life. Thanks to my son, I didn't do it. But long story short, I didn't take my life, but I continued to live on. I didn't get counseling, which I should have, but I didn't. But at the same time, I was still the fact of being molested and some of the, what's the word I want to use, the effects that happens after a woman is molested, especially if it's gone untreated. And sex became one of the main things. It was like it became an addiction. It came to a point, it became an addiction. And I really didn't care where and how I got the sex. I just knew that for me, alcohol for some people was a numbing pain. Sex was it for me. As a result of that, I really didn't care how I got it. I just wanted attention. I wanted to feel love. I wanted to feel special. I wanted to know what other people felt and what attracted other, you know, what attracted men to these women that they got married, and how come I couldn't get married or whatever. So I started settling for whatever I could get. And it got to a point where I would even settle for men that were not mine. They were other people. They were OPP. They were other people's property. And it didn't bother me. At first, it just didn't bother me. I didn't really care, because especially after I got divorced, I went through a scornful period, and I was in pain, and I was angry, and I didn't care who got hurt. And I got to a point finally in my life where I was dealing with someone, and I got to see the effects of my involvement with him and how it affected the family, how it affected me as a person. As I was getting older, I was getting a little wiser, and I was becoming more aware of what I was doing. I did it. I still continue to do it because I still had my addiction and wasn't dealing with it. But it was one situation, one scenario. I was with this person. And when I found out that he was other people's property, it didn't matter at that point, because at that point, I was so engaged. I was in love. And I just believed everything he had to say about that situation. And females, you know what I'm talking about. You know when they tell you, well, you know, things are going rough, we're heading for a divorce, and you know, she's this and she's that, and she's not doing everything. And some of us are like, well, I don't understand, because it starts off this way, never fails. I don't know why she would do something like that. If it was me, I would have done so-and-so, because as women, we're very crafty. We slick with ours. All we do is listen. And I had mine down to a craft. I knew what if I knew I wanted something, I know how to get it. And there's nothing more dangerous than a woman with a plan. And same script, different cast. So I'm not saying nothing to anyone who haven't done it that don't know what I'm referring to. Long story short, I ended up with this man, and I remember we ended up moving in together, and by this time, time I got involved with him, he was heading towards divorce and stuff, and eventually did get divorced, and it became very interesting. I will tell you this, ladies, the way you get them is the way you lose them. Please remember that, and please know this for a fact, okay? I started losing my hair. Finally, this guy was so needy. It didn't matter what I did to please him. He was never satisfied. I alienated myself from my family, from my friends. They didn't even recognize who I was. I lost myself in this situation. And it was very interesting because I didn't even realize how much I lost myself in this situation at first. To a point where I remember one day I had a headache so bad. I get migraines. This was worse than a migraine that I had. And all I kept remember asking God, please just take this headache away. I felt like I could just crawl in the casket and just died. I'd never had a migraine so bad in my life. What's interesting about that migraine, so I thought, was I never went to the doctor. I remember who I was with, where I was, and what I was doing. Eventually, the headache went away. I didn't think any more of it. I was just like, thank you, Lord. And that was it. Well, lo and behold, I kept moving on with that same gentleman, and finally, I get something click in me, and I realize that this is not it. I deserve to be treated better than this, and how did I end up to this point? I just couldn't believe that I got so caught up. How did I get to this? Well, when I got to that point, I found I was pregnant, and I was like, okay. Okay, what am I going to do here? But it had to be, you know, I have to take care of this child, and now I have to deal with this person a little longer. And I just had to make some decisions. But, you know, one thing I knew, I was going to have another child. All things happen for a reason. I was 17 years between my two children, 17. I was at a point where if it didn't happen before the age of 40, it's not going to happen, but it did. And my son, my youngest son, came. And when he did, he's a blessing. But anyway, I ended up pregnant with my son. I still was dealing with even more stuff with this gentleman, because by this time, he's now divorced, and we're still together. But also by this time, he is with other women. And I figured it out, and it was still going on. And everything that I chose to have a blind eye to was now hitting me in the face. I had my son at an early age, at the early week, because they took him at 32 weeks. He was in the premature. And I found out that as I was on the hospital bed, I was delivering. I had a very traumatic delivery to a point where they had a tube not in my vein, but in my artery. So every time my blood pump, you can see the blood coming and you know, pump up and down out of my artery. And it got so bad because I was going back and forth to the hospital and ended up with preeclampsia because I was so stressed with dealing with all this stuff. And they had to end up taking my child early. And I ended up in hospital, and of course, and I found out, because I had access to his voicemail and was listening to some of the messages and realized that he was making promises to another woman, and I'm in the hospital, I'm crying, like, oh my gosh, I just cannot believe this. We were supposed to be engaged and blah, 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 knowing that I knew what was going on. I knew also knew how I got him, too. Long story short, I finally confronted him when I was in the hospital, and it's like, you know, you need to make a decision. You know, what you're going to do. Are you going to be here so we can raise this child, or are you going to go do what you need to do? Well, he indicated that he wanted to be here to raise a child, whatever the case may be. No problem. Well, I came home, and I had to leave my baby there. And I came home, and I noticed I wasn't feeling very well. Long story short, I ended up back in the hospital on the day I was supposed to bring my baby home, and I had congestive heart failure. Well, that led me to ICU, and that person was there. My father was there. I finally told my father what was going on because, believe it or not, when I went through this process, I never told my family what was going on and what I was going through when I was pregnant because I knew what it would lead to. After I got out of the hospital from congestive heart failure, I would never forget this. I remember wanting some bacon beef patties, and he came to pick me up, and I was looking at the GPS, and a text came through on the phone. And the text basically said from him, I guess she was responding to his text. And his text, he said, listen, I'm going to call you. I'm going to tell you some things, but don't worry about it. And that was a conversation we was having, you know, on whether or not you're going to be a responsible father or not. I was so distraught because I was all stitched up because they had to do a emergency cesarean on me. So I was all stitched up and bandaged up, and that was just devastating for me. I mean, even more devastating. When I got home, I found out he had her calling my house, and my mother came down, you know, taking care of my child. And, yeah, so I made that phone call, don't call my house. And then he came son and defended her. Now, I know I'm getting real personal, but I'm hoping this will help somebody else because this is real. Long story short, we ended up splitting. And he unexpectedly, unbeknownst to me, decided to relocate to another country. And decided to marry someone else outside of the other person that was there. So it goes back to saying this, the way you get them is the way you lose them. Now, when it comes to other people's property, every situation is different, totally, totally different. But I'm going to tell you how God will turn stuff around for you, okay? He did leave to go to Barbados, and I was left to raise my child by myself. No problem. That was a struggle, but I wouldn't trade the process because it made me the person that I am today. What I'm telling you, ladies, is be careful of what you get because every situation is different. I'm not saying that your situation will be the same as mine because I got tons of stories. But I'm just saying that as a result of that, I remember going to court one day. Well, going back, I do a lot of projects, especially when I lived in South Carolina. And it was one project in particular I knew I would have to connect with an associate with my child's father's ex-wife. And I said, Lord, I know I'm not going to be able to be successful if this is not right, and I need to make this right. I always wanted to make it right. I was in court one day, and I approached her, and I introduced who I was. And I told her who I was, and I asked her to forgive me for coming into her home and interrupting her home and disrespecting her and her children. I wasn't sure how this conversation was going to go, but I knew I had to make peace with it, whether she wanted to forgive me or not. In the interim, we had an awesome conversation. In the end, she thanked me for approaching her, asked me, it was the most rewarding and forgiving conversation I have ever had with a human being. She told me that she appreciated the fact that I came to make peace with her. She said she just couldn't believe that a woman of God would deal with a married man. Because at that time I was dealing with ministry as well. And told me that God sent her her Boaz as a result of it. And one day God will send me mine. It was at that moment I felt like a release had came over me. But it also made me realize the dynamic of how you or me, how my involvement with someone, other people's property, can affect not only just short-term, but a long-term as well. Because it can affect you as a person in your relationships. It can affect the significant other of that person that the wife or the significant other, that wife or that husband that you're dealing with, and the children that are involved. Everyone's affected by a poor choice. That's basically what it is. And it's because we lack love or not understanding what love truly is. The Bible says we should not covet someone else. Husband, wife, we should not be coveting because he will bring us our own if we wait. I remember moving to Georgia. It was a hard decision, but it was necessary. I never thought I would be here, but it was the best thing I could have done because it made me grow up. I had to become a big girl. I remember having that same headache that I told you all about earlier. This time, my vision was affected. And I just noticed that after a couple of days, the headache did eventually go away, but my vision wasn't 100%. I mean, I can see, but it wasn't 100% I could see. So I said, if I got off work and I didn't have it at 100%, I want to go to the emergency room. Well, I went to the emergency room. Come to find out, I had a stroke. And on top of that, when they did the MRI, they said, do you know that you have a history of strokes? I said, no, I didn't. Of course, they immediately admitted me into the hospital. While I was in the hospital, that gave God time to have a conversation with me, a real conversation with me. And he had to remind me of how much he loved me. He said, I loved you so much that even in your mess, even when I gave you the red flags, and sweetheart, I'm trying to tell you, God gave me every red flag, every red signals, everything to tell me this is not you, this is not of me, you need to get out. But I was so in love. I didn't want to go. I wasn't trying to go nowhere. I was just trying to stay in. I was just like, it's just going to get better. He's going to do better for me, and he's going to do this. And, he treats me so well, and he does this. And I just didn't want to listen because, as far as I'm concerned, I was in love. I was in love, He reminded me that even in the mess, I still blessed you. That first headache, the same one that I had, was a stroke. I could have had an aneurysm. He could have took me out right then and there. That could have been a massive stroke, because it was, I've never had a headache like that except for the other time in my life. And I didn't go to the hospital. I went back to business as usual when it got over. My point is this. God is so awesome. He is just. He is fair. He is powerful, all but knowing. In that hospital that night, one, he came in and had that conversation with me about messing with other people, property. He told me, let me remind you of my commandments. And in the commandment, he talks about how we do not covet other people. And he talks about what he feels about adultery in this case. Sweethearts, I'm trying to tell you, it's not that serious. Know who you are and know whose you are. You don't have to settle for anything less than what you know you deserve. And if you don't know what you deserve, may I refer you back to love. And I believe that's 1 Corinthians. You know who you are. I need you to pull up that book on love. I want to say it's 1 Corinthians. I just sent it to my son about what love truly is. 1 Corinthians, I can't believe I don't remember this. I'll have it before this show is in. It talks about what love truly is. And loving thyself, and once you love yourself and you know who you are, you won't accept anything less than that. Because any man that comes to you and has something going and has a wife on the side, it has a wife now on the side, any man that comes to you that has a wife, you're the side chick. I don't care how much he tried to make her say this or that, you're the side chick, you're the side piece. And no one should ever feel comfortable being the side piece. There's nothing cool about it, and ain't nothing about it. There's nothing cool about it. But let me tell you about a person. Let me tell you about a man that, regardless of what you do, if you submit to him, who can clean you and wipe you whiter than snow. God took me out of all of my dirt, washed me, cleaned me, cleansed me, and made me whiter than snow. Forgave me, because I begged for forgiveness, because I went to her first. Forgave me. Even if she did not forgive me, I went to her first, because God says you have to go to man first. And before you come to him, that scenario right there taught me so much about who God is and how loving myself is so important. You have to love yourself, ladies, and gentlemen, because you have gentlemen out there too. There's nothing more powerful than love. We have to do it. It's nothing. I don't care, and I've heard all excuses. And I've given some myself, you know. The same way you get them, it's the same way you lose them. And let's be honest, do you really want them? Because if he did it to her, he will do it to you. What does that say about you? You're not second class to anyone. You're first class. Always remember that. You're always first class. And if he, quote unquote, because like I said, every situation is different, but the principle still seems, the principle still remains the same. If he's married, you can't even accept a cup of water from him. It's not cool. Any man that loves you and you love God, he gonna go through God to get you, because you're that worth. You're that worthy of him. Or of you. And if he loves God, he's going to fear God, and he's going to see the God in you, and he's not going to interrupt what God has in store for you. He's not going to interrupt. If anything, he's going to add to it. He's not going to subtract from it. love yourself. I can't express it enough. I remember from making poor choices with men, I've ended up with blood pressure. I've ended up two heart attacks. I ended up with my strokes and congestive heart failure. Poor choices. Just the stress of making poor choices. But if you, the Bible is there for a reason. And I tell you, if I could do life all over again, I will be a Bible reading chick. I will be a Bible reading chick because the mandate is there. The instructions are simple. And when I decided to give up sex, when I decided to give up alcohol, when I decided to give up quite a few things, these are things I don't need in my life anyway, except for at the point in time, and I'm referring to sex, really, because I don't need alcohol or drugs. I don't do drugs anyway, but things that's not of him, I don't need it anyway. There's so much pleasure outside of everything that's good to you ain't always good for you. That is a true saying. So all I'm saying to you, love, is that we're living in a time right now that we have to make our choices. I remember we could remember what day it was. Then we could remember what month it was. Now we can't remember what year was that again. It was going by so fast. I mean, it just seemed like just yesterday. It was what, last week. And now our weeks are going by so fast. And I told you I was going to get that book about Corinthians, and here it is. When we talk about the book of love, it will come from 1 Corinthians 13:4. You will start there. And I implore you to please read it, to know who you are and who you are. And the people that you deal with, if they love you, they going to know, or you're going to know that they do love you. Because it's going to show in your actions. I think my voice is going in and out, but if they're going to show, if they say that they love you, they're going to show you and you're going to know. You're not going to have to guess, and you're not going to have to wonder if they love you. They do. Now, OPP, other people property, that's out. I've gotten to a point now where I won't even entertain someone. If you're married, if you in a relationship, trying to be in a relationship, living with someone, I won't even entertain you. We don't have anything to talk about. Nothing. Do not come to me ragged or ratchet, as you all like to, ratchet, not having it. I don't want to be a part of that. I just will not do it. It's just so not worth it. And ladies, if you find yourself in that situation, cut it off immediately. Don't let them sweet talk you, or men, don't let her sweet talk you into something, and then next thing you know, you wake it up in the fiery pit. It's just not worth it. And that's how I live my life now. If I die today, where am I going to be? And I don't want to be in the fiery pit because I can't take the summers in Atlanta. So I know hell is not going to be the place for me. So I'm just saying, no judgment to anybody. I'm not judging, and I'm the last person to judge anyone. I'm just a lady with a story, and I just wanted to share mine with you. And I'm just hoping and praying that if you are that person, or you know, you're listening and you're going through this situation where you're dealing with other people's property and you're debating, should I be in this or should I not be in it? The answer is you should not be in it. And then the question I would ask you is, do you love you? Do you love yourself? And then do you love God? If he was to come down here now and have a conversation with you and come visit your home, is your house in order? Ask yourself those questions. And if the answer is no, that you already have the answer whether or not you need to be with that person or not. If someone loves you, they're not going to put you in a situation where you have to hide and sneak. That's not love. Everything should be on the up in front and the forefront. I don't want anybody to go through what I've been through. It's not worth it. Once I learned who I was, who I am, and what I am to the kingdom, it was like scales come off my eyes. So I just want to encourage someone tonight to do the same. Because love is so awesome. It's powerful. I cannot imagine me being who I am. And I know for a fact that God blessed me with my child for that reason. I don't know where I would have been if my child was not here. I don't know. I was heading down a destructive path in my life. And I'm just so grateful that he brought him here because it brought me down to a whole new level of life. So I have someone on the line. How are you this evening?
Hey, blessings to you. I am doing wonderful. How are you tonight? I mean, well, first of all, let me say that's such a powerful testimony. Thank you for the inspiring encouragement to everybody. I know you're touching some lives and changing some hearts right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I have to be honest. I struggled on whether or not I wanted to share my story tonight. Actually, I struggled when I was given this subject. I struggled even just to put the caption together, put it on Blog Talk. I truly struggled with this one. But, you know, I've always been that person bold enough to put it out there. You know, I know that, you know, it might touch some people, you know, step on some people's feet. Like, you know, we're in church and sometimes be like, man, that pastor talking about me. But I remember listening to a show, another show on Blog Talk Radio called Scars. And she was talking about a subject that hit home for me. And, you know, we're friends. And I was like, you know what? I can't even be offended because she's right. And I kind of, like I said, I struggled with it. And I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. And so I was a little leery, even starting the show on, you know, doing it. But I was like, the only way people know, I'm a firm believer that if you have not been through what I've been through, you're not going to understand. So the point is putting it out there for other people to know that people are out there. They go through, and I'm no different.
That's definitely. No,
I'm no different.
Thank you for being obedient to what God is saying to you. Because if you put it in your heart and he keeps prompting you to share it, then, yeah, somebody is definitely going to be blessed by it. The word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, yeah, all you're doing is speaking life to overcomers. So thank you for your obedience.
Well, the goal is, you know, even if it's just one, that's all that matters. But I want to ask you, you know, what is your... You know, even though we have the definition of love, what is your definition of love?
My definition of love is when you look beyond what you can see. When you have that blind faith, that blind hope, that blind love, where you don't put anyone in a box, you don't judge them, but you're always there for them to the point where you will love them so much that you would want to take the hurt for them if you could, anticipate their needs, cover their pain, just be there with them when they need that and give them their space when they do. And when you really love somebody, love will find out the language of each person that's sharing that love with, so that there is a synergy. So for me, is really being in that unconditional place where you touch each other's hearts and that you're there to support each other. I mean, that's pretty much what it is to me.
Yeah. You know, I would say if you could, because I know that you're married and you've been married for some years. You know, what would be your nugget of wisdom as far as love is concerned?
Meet and love, respect and appreciate people where they are. And know that we're all flawed, beautiful people. And that none of us have any room to judge each other. I mean, we're all in progress. So it's a matter of being understanding and patient, you know.
Yeah.
And be willing to, if you really feel like this person is your whole, helps make you whole, I mean, you're one together, then be willing to compromise, be willing to sacrifice, because love, it says in the word, it suffers long, it is patient, it's not going to be boastful and pride, it's not rude, you know, it's not keeping tally of who's right and wrong, you know, always hopeful, always enjoying every circumstances. My husband told me, and I love it, he said, you know, when you're battle tested and tried and proven, that says something about the strength of your love. It won't be shaken. So yeah.
I thank you for time and go ahead and hand.
No,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm just going to share one thing and before we get off the air. And I want to talk about when we decide to go with other people's property. You know, I am coming from both ends of the spectrum. I came to a realization to a lot of things. And one of the things I came to the realization to is when we're starting to deal with other people's properties, women, when they find a mate, or when we find a mate, and, you know, I asked, you know, my sister here about, you know, love and, you know, what it takes. That takes time and effort. You put in a lot of time and effort, and I won't say perfecting, but you put in a lot of time and effort to get it to the place of where you want it or where it needs to go or go to that next level. I say all that to say this. When things don't go right, okay, or maybe they go left, because I did a survey and it talked about the infidelity that happens between men and women. Of course, men led the pack of infidelity than women, you know, and they go to other women mainly because we're easy prey. Sometimes we settle, we look in, blah, 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 blah. But as women or men, we don't think about the work that wife put into that husband or into that marriage to get to where they are. And I see why some women snap. I do. I see why some women snap, because we're going to come in and we interrupt everything they didn't work hard for somebody else to enjoy it. No, I don't think that's cool. So we just have to keep that in mind, because your time may come. And you're going to put work in there, and you're going to work hard. to finally get things the way it did, and now there's a disruption or interruption. So when they say what goes around comes back around, it does. And Lord knows I can be a testament of that as well. I can, but God is forgiven. He is all-knowing, and he does forgive, ladies. He does forgive. If that's your heart and that's what you're trying to do, he does forgive. You don't have to take it. You don't have to be in that situation. And I remember being in a situation with one of my girlfriends say, well, you know, he's waiting, you know, he can't do it right now because the kids, or he can't do it right now because they got too much invested. The longer he waits, the more he's going to become invested. When them kids grow up, what happened then? You know, it's always something. Just be mindful. And another thing, you don't know what's going on the other side of that spectrum. You don't know what's being said or what kind of conversation that's going on the other side of that spectrum. Just keep those things in mind. You know, it's only one-sided. I remember being at that courthouse and approaching my ex's wife. And I said, you know, you're nothing like what I thought. She was like, well, yeah, I know, because this person is very, very conniving or very, you know, has a tendency of making himself look like a victim. I was just shocked. But everything that she was saying, I believed it. I mean, it was just, wow, yeah. I mean, I couldn't argue with it. Everything she was saying was true. Now, I'm not knocking them. Like I said, we're past that part. But it just made me believe, you know, realize, okay, back up, Tina. You just don't need to deal with that. So as a woman and as a woman of God, I am just telling you, if you're not a woman of God, just a woman searching, you're better than that. And just remember, you don't have to settle for anything for less than the best. God has a Boaz, or he has that woman of God for you. This is Fatina Kirkendall. Thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. God loves you. I love you, but God loves you even more. Have a good night.